One day, Jesus came to visit Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three siblings who were very dear to his heart. He loved them so much. Reading the story, I get the sense, though, that they didn't really expect him just then. We're told about Martha frantically making preparations and being quite offended by Mary's indifference to all her work. Now, I'm guessing that if she had expected Jesus, she would have done all the work the day before. She would have had Mary's help, and she would have been ready. Confronted with this unexpected situation, though, I can just see her, feel her, seething at Mary's lack of concern and helpfulness. It's understandable, isn't it? But when she asks Jesus to intervene, she gets another shock. Not only doesn't Jesus support her request for help from Mary, but actually gives her, however mildly worded, a reproof. Luke 10:41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. And can't you just see him kind of sadly shaking his head? "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What was that better thing that Mary chose? It was to be in the presence of Jesus in a worshipful attitude, sitting at his feet, learning from him. This is what Jesus desires from all of us, this time of undivided attention, free from the cares of this world. And to this end, he gave us a gift. The gift of a whole day to be focused on him, the Sabbath. Today we will look at the Sabbath day. We will see what a marvelous gift it is, why it matters, and how it can have a profound impact on our lives. In Genesis 1, we find the creation account. The week of creation culminates in God making the animals, and finally, his crowning act, the creation of humankind. And God pronounces it all very good. Now, we begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. The verses that Daylene read to us before. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." The Bible says that on the seventh day, God's work was finished and he rested. Wait, was God tired? It says in Isaiah 40:28, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." I mean, all this creating sounds really tiring to me. But to God? Isn't he omnipotent, all-powerful? Of course he is. Perhaps we need to look at the word rest a little differently. It could actually also be translated as God ceased from his work, or even better, God celebrated his work. And he invited humankind to be a part of that celebration. Think of it. God culminated his work of creation by spending joyful time with his creation, far from being tired. I could imagine that God was exhilarated by the beauty he had created and the sheer joy of having Adam and Eve to celebrate with. Okay, what about Adam and Eve? Were they tired? Did they just need a rest day? Hardly. This was their first full day living, just having come from the hand of God. So I will suggest today that the Sabbath is not primarily a rest day, but a day of celebrating our relationship with God. We usually think of Sabbath as a day to recharge. And to be sure, it is. God has ordained humankind to work 6 days a week, as he gave the example in creation. But he doesn't want us to work ourselves to the point of exhaustion when we look to Sabbath as only a day to rest and sleep. He has primarily reserved this one day to build relationship with him. We began our earthly existence in relationship as friends with each other and with God, not as slaves to work. This entering into relationship with God is also a preparation for the week to come. By turning our eyes on Jesus, fully looking in his wonderful face, we see the things of earth growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The cares of the past week fall off, and we know that the worries of the new week are surmountable by his grace. The Sabbath isn't a day to just passively relax. But as Sigve Tonstad says, it's an experience. By engaging in this experience, we are fortified for the new week. From Genesis, we see that the Sabbath was given from the beginning. We were also created with the idea that it is not okay to murder. Think of Cain. Steal, remember Jacob? Or worship other gods. Think of Rachel. The reiteration of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai was nothing new. Every wise society before and to our day has upheld a code of conduct very similar to the Ten Commandments. But the Sabbath was unusual and quite forgotten during Israel's captivity in Egypt. Interestingly, the fourth commandment doesn't begin with a "you shall not," but "remember." Now, we like to recite this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. But I think God said it rather differently. Can't you hear the longing in God's voice as he says, remember? For so many years, the friend relationship with God had been compromised by the children of Israel's inability to celebrate the Sabbath. Now, God brings it back to the forefront of their minds. Many people today will say that any day can be the Sabbath, as long as there is one day in seven to have Sabbath on. I listened to a preacher this week who gave an eloquent sermon on the Sabbath and then said, "My Sabbath is Monday." I kind of did a little bit of a double take. But he keeps that day religiously. He shared the story of someone asking him to do some work on Monday, even though that person knew that this was the preacher's Sabbath. The preacher responded, "Okay, why don't we go stealing at the store too? And along the way, let's murder a few people." Yes, he took the Sabbath seriously, all but the day. I have told you before that I have a standing date with my sister to talk on every first Sunday of the month at 10 a.m. It's evening for her, morning for me. We arrange our schedules to make this happen. My sister makes sure that the dogs have been walked, all the necessary things are done so that she can settle in for her visit with me. Likewise, I make sure that nothing else will interfere with this time. But this month, something did interfere. I happened to be traveling to California on the first Sunday. I knew it was coming up and that I needed to tell her, but I biffed it. What a disappointment for my sister. After all she had done to be ready for me, I could have said to myself, "Okay, so I missed Sunday. I'll just call her tomorrow." There is no guarantee that that will work. My own schedule may not allow it. In fact, it hasn't. I've thought about it many times. Should talk to my sister. No time. And my sister also may not be there. She has a life too. Now, to be sure, we can call on God anytime, any day, and he will be there. But there are many things that consume our attention in our day. God clears his calendar for the entire day. He makes sure nothing interferes with his time with us. He hopes we will do the same. And then we say, "Nice of you to do that, God. See you on Monday." What a disappointment for God. No wonder he pleads with us to remember. But why should it matter? I think it is important for us to view the Sabbath not as an obligation, but as a gift. The preacher who keeps Monday as his Sabbath is not obligated to keep the Sabbath as it is presented in the Bible. He can say no to the gift, but at great loss. The seventh-day Sabbath says to us that we have great value to God. In the words of Tonstad again, we can hear God speaking, "I am ceasing on the seventh day, not only that you may acknowledge and love me, but in order to make it known that I recognize and love you. Indeed, as Karl Barth puts it, the reason why he refrains from further activity on the seventh day is that he has found the object of his love and has no need for further works. The object of his love, us. That is an incredible love. God didn't create the Sabbath day as a burden, a loathsome, boring day. But in unfathomable love, he makes himself available to his creation and hopes, anticipates, that we will return this love by meeting with him. Do you enjoy your interactions with your spouse, children, significant others? Don't you just love it when you can steal an hour here or there during the day to spend time together? How much better when you can steal a whole day off? Maybe even a vacation. I know there are two couples here that have just returned from vacation and they look so rested. But with God, it's a time he has carved out as a standing date once a week. No stealing. Intentional, consistent, joyful time with him. So what happens if we ignore it? Does God eventually go away and forget about it? It's good to remember that God's actions never depend on man. We cannot dictate God's behavior. A theologian named John Skinner wrote that the Sabbath is not an institution which exists or ceases to exist with its observance by man. The divine rest is a fact, as much as the divine work. And so the sanctity of the day is a fact, whether man secures the benefit or not. I guess I want the benefit. What benefits have we seen thus far? In the traditional sense, of course, there's the benefit of rest, which is not a bad benefit at all. A certain Japanese man in his adult life worked 110 hours per week, which is close to 16 hours per day, 7 days a week. He kept that up year after year until he died of a heart attack at age 33. The Japanese have even coined a word, karushi, to mean death as from a heart attack or suicide due to overwork or work-related stress and exhaustion. Certainly, the Sabbath is a great antidote to that, and how often we are ever so glad for it. But indeed, if that is all it is, then I fail to see why it must happen on the seventh day. Any day is good for rest, is it not? So one might even view this as a minor benefit of the Sabbath. Okay, then the next benefit, preparation for the new week. That's closely related to the rest we just discussed. As we rest up from the old week, we become ready to tackle the new. Again, this is something one could choose to do on any day. It is not the biggest benefit of the Sabbath either. Third, then, we draw close to God. You might say, don't we and shouldn't we do that every day? Certainly. For a while, as we said before, the rest of the day is taken up in labor and toil. The benefit of ceasing from work is all of what we said before, but mostly it is to free us up to have a full 24-hour period to focus on God, others, and God's creation. And because God has given us the gift of the seventh day for just that purpose, any other day will not reap the same benefit. This, the seventh day, is the day that the Lord has made for worship. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I also propose that as we draw near to God on the day he has gifted, he gives another gift besides. By beholding, we become changed. Do you believe that? As we behold him from Sabbath to Sabbath, as well as walk with him through the week, we will be changed. Let him do his work of making a new person out of each of us. We can certainly try to do that on our own, but we will fail because it can only be accomplished as a gift from God by the grace of God. Tonstadt declares that the primary message of the Sabbath is not human duty, but divine commitment. In his commitment to us, God makes us whole and new, not because we work so hard, but because he gifts it. Have you noticed, by the way, that going to church is not a condition of Sabbath keeping? It sure is a good day for it, though, don't you think? When will you ever have more time and opportunity to do it? We need to have our private time with God every day, but we're also asked to not forsake our assembling together, which could be a whole other topic. Isaiah 53, verses 13 and 14, puzzles some, as they see only part of it, and then view Sabbath as nothing but drudgery and boredom. Let's read verse 13 of Isaiah 58. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. Wow, seriously, don't break the Sabbath. You all have heard or have your own horror stories of how Sabbath was enforced on you. Don't do as you please, but do call the day a delight and honorable. Somehow that just doesn't seem to go together, does it? Don't go your own way. Don't speak idle words. That sounds so boring. To many, it sounds like don't have fun. Lots of what you can't do, not enough of what you can do. German translations of the Bible have taken a bit of a different tack with this verse, which is equally valid. They say, if you don't pursue your business on my holy day. Wow, that can cut to the core. How many of us think that if we don't pursue our job or things that really have to get done? Think of students who think they must study all day Sabbath or they won't make the grade. If we don't do that, we will have great loss. We might lose our job, our income. Now it becomes a trust issue. How easy it can be to trust in ourselves, and how very hard to trust God. Allowing him, though, to take care of us can be one of the most exhilarating experiences. So do we trust God to take care of us as we honor him by doing what he asks? Jesus showed us how to make the Sabbath a delight by focusing on God in worship and study, on others in communion with them, and on nature in rejoicing in the beauty God surrounds us with. The Sabbath is not primarily a lay activities day, and definitely not a day to pursue our business. It is actively pursuing what we don't have time for most any other day, on this day that the Lord has made for spending time with him. Weekly, we can practice trust in God by doing as he asks. When we do that, verse 14 of Isaiah 58, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That ride spoken of here will be unlike any other thrill on this earth, an unimaginable joy. Let us rejoice in the day the Lord gave us out of his great desire to spend time with us. Mary grasped what it meant to be with Jesus. Martha busied herself with earthly cares. When Jesus came, regardless of what day that was just then, she missed him by being busy with her own cares and worry. Let's not miss God by crowding him out with our cares and worries on the day he gifted us. Let's leave it all with God and take that ride of triumph.